At item 10, Zantara Kingsville.
Good afternoon. Zantara Kingsville LLC is requesting authorization to construct an approximately 526-foot-long elevated boardwalk with two 695-square-foot gazebos with 17.5-foot-high roof structures and timber rails, and a 6-foot-wide by 90-foot-long community pier with a 60-foot T-head and a 695-square-foot gazebo with a 17.5-foot-high roof structure and timber rails associated with the construction of the Kingsville Resort Riverwalk adjacent to properties situated along the James River in James City County. The project is protested by numerous residents of the Kingsville community. So Kingsville Resort was discussed a little bit in the previous case that was heard. Kingsville Resort and Golf Club is located within the larger Kingsville development in James City County. It's located approximately 4 miles down from the Jamestown Island in the Tri-Belle Shoals reach of the James River. This yellow parcel here was taken from the James City County aerials, and this is the Zantara Kingsville parcel within the Kingsville development. They have approximately 4,500 linear feet of riverfront, and that includes the marina at Kingsville at the downriver end of their parcel. This is a zoomed-out aerial shot of the project area. Moving in closer, this is the immediate project area within the Kingsville resort parcel. The existing shoreline conditions that consist of an intertidal riprap revetment, mean high water and mean low water fall on the revetment. Immediately upland of this revetment is a steep grassy bank. The bank slope upriver along this project area was graded when the revetment was installed sometime in 98, so it's got a more gradual graded slope. As you move downriver, particularly in front of this house here, the slope becomes much steeper. Zantara Kingsville is proposing to install a half-mile long riverwalk that's going to consist of an upland landside path in addition to an amenity pier and an elevated boardwalk that will actually come out into the James River. The goal of this project is to create a passive recreational path that is ADA compliant between the resort cottages. There are some resort dwellings now, and there are proposed more along this area here, so they want to create a pathway between this area and the marina downriver. Sort of the secondary goal of this is to increase awareness of the James River within the resort. This is a broad outline of the Riverwalk, and I will show a better version of it in a minute. This is just, again, an idea of the entire Riverwalk as it's proposed with the landside path, the pier, and the elevated boardwalk in the James River. So this is a better version of the Riverwalk, and this is split into two panels. The top panel is the upriver component of the project, and then you split and you come down here, and this is the downriver section, and here's the marina. So starting at the downriver end, the elevated boardwalk is going to originate in the marina parking lot. It's going to come out about 66 feet into the river and run upriver about 526 feet and tie back into the upland. It's going to be 12 foot wide, and this is to accommodate golf cart passage, one going in either direction. It has two 695-square-foot gazebos proposed on either end of the elevated boardwalk with two observational platforms. Again, it's going to tie back in down upriver of the marina. It's going to go, the riverwalk is going to continue with a landside path. And then approximately 550 feet upriver from the boardwalk is the proposed amenity pier. This is 6 feet wide by 90 foot long, and it's proposed with a 60-foot T-head with a 695-square-foot gazebo in the middle. There will be lighting proposed along the boardwalk to facilitate nighttime travel, and access to the boardwalk will be limited to club members of the resort as well as patrons of the resort. This is a cross-section, typical cross-section for a two-pile section of the boardwalk here and a three-pile section of the boardwalk. Of note here is that the decking is going to be 9 feet above the mean low water line. This is a cross-section of the proposed gazebos. It's going to have a dual split roof with a cupola on top, and it's going to be the peak of the cupola will be 17.5 feet above the decking, and then 9.5 feet above mean low water. You're going to get about 26.5 feet above mean low water at the peak of the gazebos. So Now I'm going to run through a series of ground shots that were taken at a site visit on September 17th of this year. This is standing in the marina parking lot, roughly in the origination area of the boardwalk, and this is looking upriver where the boardwalk will be. This is moving upriver, standing near the terminus of the elevated boardwalk in the upland, again looking downriver about in the vicinity of the elevated boardwalk. This is standing a little further upriver near the amenity pier. And this is looking upriver towards the terminus of the landside pass. There are no proposed structures upland or upriver of this area. Staff had some concerns with the degree of encroachment over state bottom, so at staff's request, the agent conducted an alternatives analysis to evaluate alternatives to putting a boardwalk within the James River. They looked at placing the entire path in the upland along the bank. They also evaluated using the upland, placing the entire path in the upland using the resort's existing sidewalk and road infrastructure. And then they also looked at two other reduced design scenarios where they eliminated the gazebos and some of the observation platforms, and then in the second scenario, they actually pulled it in closer to the land. According to the analysis, relocating the path in the upland along the bank could create issues with slope and stability, especially given the steep slope around the area of the house where the path will be, where the boardwalk is proposed now. And relocating the path in the upland using the existing infrastructure would not create a defined path between the amenity and the resort area and the marina. And in some areas, this would not be ADA compliant. So option one of the reduced design for the boardwalk, again, the gazebos are eliminated, but they do maintain the observation platforms here, and they eliminated one of the middle observation platforms. The second option, they actually use that same design, but they pull it in closer to the shore, so it runs closer to the mean low water line, reducing some of that bold outline footprint of the boardwalk. This is staff's approximation of the proposed structures, and this is a rough approximation. But again, staff had concerns with the project's proposed encroachment over state bottom. The total physical footprint associated with both the boardwalk and the amenity pier is 9,722 square feet. The boardwalk also effectively removes an additional 16,600 square feet within the perimeter of the boardwalk structure. So you're talking about a footprint of almost over 20,000 square feet over state bottom. When considering projects for use over state bottom, staff must consider public-private benefits in section 28.2-1205A. The pier and the boardwalk will certainly be nice attributes to the private Kingsville Resort and Golf Club and benefit the patrons and the club members of the resort. The public can pay to use the resort, so there is some degree of public benefit. However, staff believes that the anticipated public-private benefits do not appear to exceed the anticipated public-private detriments. Again, this project is proposing a large encroachment over state bottom. It's reducing the accessibility of this area of the James River to the public recreating on the water, and the public at large cannot freely access these structures over state bottom unless they are paying to be members of the club or visiting the resort. In addition, the Commission's Scenic Reef guidelines also require consideration of the water dependency as a factor when looking at a project over state bottom. Water dependency is defined as those structures or activities that must be located in, on, or over state-owned submerged lands. There are two questions that must be answered when looking at this, when putting this to the test. And that's, one, is the structure necessary to be located over the water? And two, is the activity associated with the structure necessary to be over water? When applying this definition, the golf cart and the pedestrian travel are not water-dependent activities. Similarly, alternatives do exist for a path between the resort and the marina that do not require a structure in the water. As I mentioned previously, this project is also protested by numerous residences of the Kingsmill residential community. We received a total of 18 letters. Three were from citizen groups that were represented by individuals, and those are the Preserve Carter's Grove Country Road, Kingsmill Residents Past and Present, and Kingsmill United, in addition to 15 other citizen letters. Generally, the protestants expressed concern over the unnecessary nature of the proposed structures, the impact to the scenic and the historic beauty of the James River in this area, potential impacts to bald eagles, increased pollution, and the departure of the project from the overall Kingsmill Master Plan. Several other letters cited issues with the privatization of the resort under Kingsmill. The agency comments, we received comments from the Department of Health, their Division of Shellfish Sanitation, noted that the project is in condemned shellfish waters, but it will not result in an increase in the size or the type of the existing closure. The Department of Conservation and Recreation noted the existence of the Atlantic sturgeon in the project area, and they recommended coordination with both DGIF and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. And they also recommended implementation and strict adherence to erosion, sediment control, and stormwater management measures. Within DCR, the Division of Planning and Recreational Resources noted the project site is in the scenically designated Lower James Historic River, and they recommend that all graded areas be planted with native plants. Department of Game and Inland Fisheries also documented the endangered Atlantic sturgeon in the area, and they recommend coordination with NOAA Fisheries Services, and their concern was primarily from the numerous pilings that would be required as associated with the boardwalk and the piers. They also recommend an in-stream time of year restriction from February 15th to June 30th, and this would be to reduce potential adverse impacts on anadromous fish. They noted bald eagle's nests in the project area and that the project site is in the James River winter and summer bald eagle concentration zone, and again, they just recommended coordination with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on this matter. The Department of Historic Resources documented the existence of archaeological sites in the upland bank site. The United States Coast Guard does not object to the project but does request that the applicant submit an application if they desire to install any private aids to navigation. We also received comments from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, and their comments were integrated, so they included discussion about the impacts in the upland resource protection area as well as the Sebaqueous impacts. BIMS discussed the RPA impacts and noted that vehicles, golf carts in this case, are not considered passive recreation and that upland access exists for golf cart use between the two amenities. BIMS concluded that the boardwalk is not necessary or water dependent, though they did support the amenity here. James City County approved the project at their local wetlands board hearing on November 13th, 2013. I'd like to correct that. I think in the evaluation it reads November 14th, but it was November 13th. So summary and recommendation. Santerra proposes to construct a riverwalk along the banks of and adjacent to their property as a recreational pathway between the resort and the marina. This project proposes a significant degree of encroachment for both the pier and the boardwalk, and staff believes has not been fully justified. Staff does support the request for the amenity pier because staff believes this provides a passive access to the water and achieves the goal of incorporating the river into the resort experience with minimal impact and encroachment. Staff is of the opinion that the proposed elevated timber boardwalk is not acceptable as proposed. The water dependency and ultimately the need for the structure has not been adequately justified. While the elevated boardwalk will provide convenient travel between the resort and marina, upland access exists for travel to and from these amenities. Staff believes that although this may require modifications to the existing infrastructure to achieve ADA compliance, using the existing sidewalks is a preferable alternative as a thoroughfare between the resort and the marina. Staff also notes that the current path for access between the two amenities is through the upland. Therefore, the elevated boardwalk in the James River is not necessary, and staff does not recommend approval of the boardwalk as proposed. Staff believes many of the concerns expressed by the protestants in this matter would be addressed by the elimination of the boardwalk. Should the commission decide to approve the elevated boardwalk component of the project, staff does recommend that the commission approve the reduced design boardwalk that hugs the shoreline. This will reduce the visual impact of the project as well as reduce the overall encroachment over state bottom. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by the opposition to the project and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the amenity pier and gazebo, but not the elevated timber boardwalk. In addition, staff recommends a royalty of $1,259 for the encroachment of the amenity pier over 1,259 square feet over state bottom at a rate of $1 per square foot. Staff also recommends that should the commission approve the elevated boardwalk over state bottom, approval include a royalty of $8,463 for the encroachment of the boardwalk over 8,463 square feet of state-owned bottom at a rate of $1 per square foot. The applicant is represented, and I am happy to answer any questions that I may be able to answer.
Questions for Juliet? Seeing none.
So what was that?
The questions for staff?
Yeah. Could we see the proposed, the way they want, that Kingsmill wants to build it, and then the proposed way that recommend changes it?
So this would be the current proposal, how Kingsmill would prefer to see it, with the two gazebos, a couple observation platforms, and it's coming off the shoreline here.
Okay. How far is it off the shoreline?
About 66 feet, huh? I believe. 66 feet, I believe, is what I...
At the longest point?
And this would be staff's recommendation if the commission were to approve the boardwalk. They're bringing it in. It's going to be closer to the shoreline, removing the gazebos, eliminating one of the observation platforms here in the middle.
What was the reason for bringing it in?
To reduce the overall footprint of the project over State Bottom. As proposed, it's got a footprint over 20,000 square feet. This would eliminate some of that area here, keep that open to anybody recreating out in the water. A minimum design.
And that's as long as everything is, what we're seeing. I mean, this is the total of their request, what's up there.
For the elevated boardwalk, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have the amenity pier and then the portion of the riverwalk is
further
down, upland.
Further upstream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is the boardwalk, right.
Okay.
Other questions? Comments? Applicant is present.
Yes, and I do believe they have a presentation.
Okay. Are you an attorney? Are you an attorney?
No, sir.
All right.
Non-practicing attorney.
Let me swear you in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please state your name.
My name is Chris Dodson. I work for Timmons Group. It's a civil engineering firm in Richmond, Virginia. I oversee our environmental practice there. A representative from Xanterra is here as well. With that, I'd like to walk you through a few additional points. Julia did a great job. She and Tony met with us earlier to discuss the project, and we tried to come up with some additional information for your behalf. This is just an overall of the project area. One of the things that Juliet was pointing to earlier is there are some existing developments in the red there that are either built or being built, has the pool pavilion and additional residences. Many of those are private. Some are leased back to the organization for resort guests. You can see, Mr. Beck, you'd asked the entirety of the project. There is the landside path that goes from the western portion of the project to the east, where it then ties into what we're proposing for the amenity pier and the boardwalk portion. And the marina, you can see on the eastern portion of the project, which is protected by a breakwater out there a little bit further. One of the things I'd like to point out about Kings Mill is it has been a private resort for almost 40 years now. The only thing that's changed in the last couple of years is Anheuser-Busch sold the property to Xanterra. Xanterra is a resorts management entity. Some of the other properties that they maintain are the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, and recently assumed control beginning next year of Glacier National Park. So they are used to managing resort properties that have very important natural resource components. And one of the goals of their organization is having people interact with the environment. So recreational trails and paths are something that they encourage. One of the things that we had talked about was the ADA compliance. Most of the time that is a slope issue, being able to maintain slopes less than 5% without having any ramps or anything like that. So it has to be very, very gradual. The improvements that would have to be done to the sidewalks, where Xanterra actually controls those areas, because they're not all controlled by Xanterra. Some of them are by the condo association, which creates some conflicts. We also have some utility issues. It is possible for people to walk currently down the roadways. They're not able to use carts or anything like that. But ultimately, the goal is to have a recreation path to connect everything through the resort. But right now, there's a membership campaign underway. And by January 1st of next year, if residents who have been residents there currently, the resort is private. If they do not join as members, then they will not have access to many of the facilities within Kings Mill that over the past up to 40 years they have had access to. Xanterra is operating this as a different business model than what Anheuser-Busch had previously, and for obvious reasons is trying to operate it more efficiently. Right now they currently have 60% of the existing residents in the community have signed up for memberships with the community. That's in excess of 1,400 members at this point. These are some of the photos of the marina. I'm not going to go through them all, but this is where the boardwalk diverts from the marina side out around this slope, which about 3-to-1 in this area. As we go down further around the corner, it's about a 1.5-to-1 slope. It would be very detrimental to the slope here to try and cut a bench in to build a ADA-compliant path, to put in a retaining wall and maintain that surface long-term. So this is where putting a boardwalk out over the state bottom was proposed. This is the other end where you can see the slope is steeper, where we start tying back into the landside path. This revetment was installed in 1998 following Isabel. Kings Mill Resort paid for all the repairs themselves. It was not paid for by the residents. They actually repaired the marina as well. When it was done, you can see where it's fairly gradual and flat. There's no real native vegetation. It's turf and invasive species on the slope that we would have to control. But there was a path in 1998 contemplated to be put along here and to loop it through, and the only way to really do that was with the boardwalk connection. Most of these areas are areas that we went through, James City County, the Wetlands Board, and Chesapeake Bay Board to obtain approval for the path and the RPA issues associated with it. We're going to replant 1.9 acres. Juliet had mentioned the native revegetation approach. We're replanting 1.9 acres of land here using native trees and shrubs. Shrub species, no trees, because there's a view shed issue associated with the condo association that trees cannot be planted. We don't want to put those in and cut them. There are some bald cypress along the slopes here, but there are very few native trees. We're not proposing to remove any of the existing trees. There are no known bald eagle nests within the project area. The nearest one is greater than 660 feet downriver of our property. You know, all the revetments that were done in that situation, you know, again, like I mentioned, were to protect that area, and putting the boardwalk over top of it directly could affect its integrity. There are no issues currently with any of that revetment area failing. This is just some additional information. I don't want to take up the commission's time with going through this, but you know, this is relates to the existing site conditions within the project area in terms of the RPA, the slopes, very little existing condition that's native at this point. One of the other things I do want to point out here is upriver of us, you can see a lot of the private residences. There are numerous boat docks that extend in excess of 140 feet out in the river. As an individuals are allowed access to state waters and permitted to do that. Kings Mill is termed a commercial activity and therefore has to go through a separate process. Here we also have downstream, which is actually part of the Kings Mill Resort, but not the portion of the property owned by Zantera. And you can see the numerous groin structures that were also installed previously from a, we'll use the term beach nourishment, but stabilization standpoint. Those are also relatively inaccessible, though, given the slopes to get down there. Most people wouldn't want to hike down there to try and access those areas. The other thing, as I noted earlier, the breakwater by the marina, you know, in terms of boating passage along this area, these areas are very shallow. I don't know, you know, back when the Anheuser-Busch golf tournament when Curtis Strange was playing, they had Strange's Navy and people were out in the water being able to walk to the shore. This is a very shallow, flat, uniform, sandy, muddy bottom here. So boat access along that shoreline where the project is being proposed along this slope, pretty much behind the breakwater now. Boats are not really coming into this area. They're going to the marina or staying out. So where we're proposing to impede access to state waters, which would only be accessible by boat, fairly small area. Granted, it is in excess of 16,000 square feet of what we're talking about over state bottoms. One of the things also that was mentioned is the cart access. We have to mention cart access, but the actual access by carts is very limited. There's a proposed development in the future in a western part of the Kingsmill Resort controlled by Xanterra. That's the only place in the resort where private individuals will actually be able to own or maintain carts. Nobody else in the development owns or operates them. So that would be the only location that there would be private carts that would ultimately or even potentially be able to use this path. Most of the time, there would be maintenance vehicles, and therefore the width of the boardwalk is 12 feet, but it's actually 11 feet travelable width. So maintenance vehicles to be able to get back to these landside path areas has to be provided long-term. Otherwise, you know, you would have to try and come down the slope. The other thing is currently there is no stormwater management associated with anything that sheet flows off of the development. Any of the herbicides that are put on the turf to fertilizers to make it grow. We're putting in a dry swale the entire length of the landside path. So everything that is currently being untreated, there's a complete underdrain, low-impact development system that's being put in. So from a water quality standpoint, we're trying to do everything we can to try and improve that situation. And I mentioned the FHWA, Federal Highway Administration Shared Use Guidelines for multi-use paths. The recommended travel width is 10 feet so that bikes and pedestrians can pass safely, and it actually prescribes a 2-foot graded shoulder on either side of that. So our path is 10 foot wide. The boardwalk is 11-foot travel width. So we tried to stick with what the guidelines recommended out there are. I mentioned the issue about the carts. You know, we have, after working with staff, tried to eliminate the two gazebos so that we don't have that additional covered area out over the water. We relooked at having the viewing areas. One of the other purposes of the viewing areas is that if you do have two-way traffic passing in that area, that the pedestrians on the path that aren't riding a bike or pushing a jogger or something like that are able to step out of the way. So having one on each end and one in the middle is preferred. The other thing we noted is, you know, the public interest benefit, yes, it is primary. It is for the residents or guests. You know, we're estimating in excess of 5,000 people at any given time, which, you know, based on resort activity over the year, could be in excess of 100,000 people. Currently, there is no access to the water here other than standing up at the resort, looking out, or in the one place in the marina. And much like, you know, the other properties that Xanterra maintains, you know, most of the parks and things like that, you know, many of our national parks aren't accessible without paying a fee. It's a similar circumstance here, maintaining, keeping things up, you know. We already talked about the layout here. The main reason for coming out in this location is we cannot work along that slope. We did look at running it up through the land, the old Anheuser-Busch home. The Busch home is up on the top of the slope. We looked at trying to run the path up that way. We couldn't get it up there without significant grading. Right now, the only grading we really have in the project is here. So from a stability issue, the rest of the areas, we've tried to keep it at grade on the slope. This area, as I mentioned, is about 1.5 to 1. This is the residence. There is a property line here for the condo association that we cannot touch. So if we were to have to bring the path in and up this slope here, we can't maintain ADA compliance. There's no way to make it up. And also, this area is used for events, so we'd have to keep the path down below. There is also a old cultural resource site here. There was a cemetery here years ago. Portions of it have been studied and recovered. Other portions are yet unidentified. So another reason that, you know, we really need to stay out of this area. We would also add another 0.6 acre or more of RPA disturbance to tie back in if we're not permitted to go along the boardwalk route as proposed or shown there. Most of these are the items that I just addressed. Option one, which basically eliminated the gazebos and one of the viewing areas, was a 7% footprint reduction. It was about 7,860 square feet of encroachment. Option two reduces that further. When we looked at our original plan versus the revised plan, we reduced the state bottom encroachment total going from what is the 2-foot contour out to the outside of the boardwalk by 38.5% by bringing that in up against the toe as far as we could. We can't hug the toe anymore with than we're doing in this scenario. We can't run on an angle because we have to be able to maintain coming out across the boardwalk and making that tie. We start running on the angle. It does not work. These are just the two options of where the boardwalk would be located. As Mr. Beck asked, how far we were out in that one location, you know, it was between 40 and 80 feet. As we pull it back to the toe, the greatest distance away from the shore is 45 feet, and that's in those two perpendicular areas. The boardwalk is 9 feet above the water surface, so from a shading standpoint, we weren't going to have any issues there. As I mentioned, the bottom is fairly homogeneous, no subaqueous vegetation noted, muddy bottom, gently sloping as well, so we don't foresee any issues with installing the, there's 160 piles that would be necessary to construct this, which is 126 square feet of physical impact using a hammer drill to install this, so as opposed to trying to auger or anything like that. We are coordinating with the Corps on the permit issues. We've been dealing with DCR, VIMS, NOAA on all of their comments as it relates to any of the species issues. We don't see any of those as being issues that the project couldn't proceed on. The issue that we're really here today is as it relates to that timber deck surface out over the state bottom. Any of the lighting that's going in is dark sky compliant. One of the things Julia had mentioned was the view issue. Where this boardwalk is going to be located, it is backed by that tall slope. So from a visual perspective, it will be very difficult to see this boardwalk with that backdrop through there, especially with the gazebos being gone at this point. And if it's pulled all the way up against the toe, it'll be further less of an issue. These are just some of the graphics that relate to the dry swale component and the FHWA shared use path issues. And we tried to show basically the 1.9 acres of area that we're replanting with native vegetation that's currently Johnson grass and maintained turf. Just in summary, two-thirds of the resort are now members as a result of the campaign, which is good progress for Xanterra, I mean, because that is a change of operation that many of the residents that have lived there for years have not been used to. We've looked at other alternatives, and we keep coming back to the boardwalk as being the one that achieves the recreational purpose of Xanterra, the connectivity purpose, the amenity purpose, and are able to maintain that ADA issue. And yes, the boardwalk is out over state waters, but by pulling it up against the slope, we've tried to minimize that impact to it. And right now, you know, there is no access by any public or private entity to that area. And as a result, you know, there's 4,000 to 5,000 people on any given day that would have access to this area. And, you know, the numbers are much larger than that over the course of a year. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Dodson?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Beck.
Could you bring up on the screen the area that you showed the red on the left-hand lower side? It was some red. I wanted to see what that is.
Oh, first slide?
Maybe. There.
Yes, sir.
What are those red things?
Cottages on the James, I believe. Yep, the cottages on the James. It's a residential project. They
are they existing?
Yes. Five.
But no, that, are those some of your objectors?
They're unsold.
Oh, good. Okay. The next question will it be lighted? Did I hear you say you were going to?
It has dark sky lighting, so everything is down facing.
Everything's down lighted.
Correct, and it's only for highlighting the path from light to light. So the spacing is the minimum that somebody walking in the evening would be able to see where the path is.
Mr. Chairman, I'm familiar with that area quite a bit, and I think from a standpoint of my fellow commissioners, I think from a standpoint of Kings Mill, they need this because to get from the conference center to the marina is important, and to walk on the road and the limited walkway coming down through the upside is not as pleasant. I think this is a safety issue as well, so I would be in favor of it, but that's my comment.
Any other questions? Do you have anyone else to speak in favor?
No, if there's any other questions, Mr. Kevin Holder with Zantara is here. And
they may arise as we move forward.
That's correct. Thank you very much.
Anyone else wish to speak in favor of this project? Anyone in opposition? I have a couple of hands. All right.
One behind the door.
Okay. Come on up. Swear the testimony give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name.
Hi, I'm Michael McGurk. I'm a resident of Kingsmill. I am also a member of the resort or the club at Kingsmill. So I'd like to start off with I represent Preserve the Carter's Grove Country Road. It's a group of people primarily composed of residents of Kingsmill who are concerned about some of the development in the area. Some of the terms that have been used here were kind of interesting because they said residents would have access to this area. That is not a correct statement. Residents are not given access to any of these areas. Only members of the club are given access. So you have a large number of residents who are not members. And although I'm not privileged to have the membership records of the resort in front of me, the statement that two-thirds of the residents of Kings Mill are members of the club, I would find preposterous. I would tell you it's not even half. But I don't have those records to prove that to you. Another thing is they said it's a private resort for the last 40 years. It's been a privately owned resort for the last 40 years, open to the public. Anybody could come into Kingsmill, pay their money, and play golf. Anyone could come into Kingsmill, pay their money, eat at the restaurants. Anybody, any walk of life, anywhere. That all changes January 1st, where the only people allowed in will be members of the resort or guests that are paying to stay at the resort. That's a significant difference from what's being presented. Another one I'd like to address before I show my quick presentation is ADA compliance. Kingsmill has built itself as an active community to play golf and use the swimming pools and use the bike trails and the hiking trails and everything else. And then suddenly for this one project, we've seen a huge emphasis on ADA compliance. And in fact, a portion of what they're building is not, in fact, ADA compliant. And the interpretation of the ADA regs is rather generous. ADA calls for a 32 to 36 inch path, up to 60 inch for travels in both directions, but it's dependent on the area in which you are. Obviously, sidewalks next to buildings are larger because people don't like to walk up against a wall, or there may be mailboxes or planters or something. But 144 inch is certainly a monstrosity of width, not really required for ADA compliance. Additionally, the state calls for passive use. And motorized carts are not passive use. And the statement that golf carts can't go all these different places is an internal policy. It's not a law by the state of Virginia. All the roads inside of Kingsmill are privately owned. The majority of the roads are privately owned by the resort, the main roads, and they're the ones that set the policy on private roads. So if they chose to allow carts to go on the different roads and driveway, they could. Real quickly, what I wanted to go through is this is the area we're talking about, and one of the things that you notice if you look at the James River from up above is how little development there is along it. A lot of people think that's a good thing. You see the Colonial Parkway here and the view sheds going this way and how clean it is. This is coming in a little bit closer. This is the area they're talking about for the boardwalk. These are the private piers built on the large mansions here by right. This is the large marina that Kingsmill has built, and this area here is where they're talking about putting in the boardwalk here and then the ground path up here. Where the cottages are going in was formerly a golf course here. It was the Bray Golf Course, a par 3 9-hole golf course that they took out to build the cottages for development. Okay, this is the area that has no access. This is the beach. This is the boardwalk leading out to the marina. This is the James Landing Grill. with a deck around it for people to sit out and enjoy the views. This is looking onto Marina. They said they'd place signs up. They wanted to place signs up for education about the boardwalk and one of the things about the wildlife and stuff in the area. The only signs that they have currently up there are signs advertising the restaurants and the amusement parks. Just another shot of the marina. Now, this is the Colonial Parkway. And this is what you see when you see, you know, a virgin territory undisturbed or relatively undisturbed in a view. And it's the kind of thing that most of us want to maintain. I went to look at the Virginia Outdoor Plan by the Department of Conservation and Recreation, which says planning for types of water access should be a priority. And in fact, the change that's going on at Kingsmill is the current boat ramp, boat launch, and water access that today is open to the public, where anyone can go down and launch their equipment, is being closed off. And they're building a boardwalk for private use there. I don't believe that's in the best interest of the public or what this commission is supposed to be looking out for. The Chesapeake Bay Act Agreement. They've already had a meeting before the Chesapeake Bay Board and the Wetlands Board up in James City County. And the comments from James City County were, because this land had already been despoiled by previous owners, it was somehow less valuable to protect because it had already been ruined the first time. I'm not sure I agree with that, but that's the decision that was made there. But it said regional and local agencies should establish cooperative agreements among localities and private landowners for public access to recreational waters. Maintain access to existing public beaches and water access sites that may be jeopardized by changes in land use or developmental activities. That's exactly what's happening here. And as I said, protection of the scenic watersheds. In addition, although it's not the responsibility of this committee here, the James City County Comprehensive Plan is also against this type of development. Impacts from piers and bank fishing are minimal, with the exception of the constructions of docks, piers, and fish cleaning activities. That is what this is. One of the things they billed it as early on to the residents would it would be a fishing pier that you could fish off of. And then now they tell us that there are no fish. And here's just a couple quotes that I like that I've used before. And some people would say this is a little bit. This dock and this waterway over the water is not that much. But I'm here to tell you that every little bit counts in our fight to preserve this area. So every little bit is important. And we shouldn't just say, well, it's not that big, let's give in. We've got to protect every bit of it. Nothing further. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Thank you, sir. Next.
Good afternoon.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Nyland. I'm a resident of Kingsmill, and as a matter of fact, my house looks directly at the new site of where the construction wants to take place. And I got to tell you, I'm about a half a mile from that. And right now, when I sit on my back porch, I look directly at the marina, and it's a beautiful view. And honestly, when they build this this construction site, it's still going to be a beautiful view, because when I look at it from my house, about half a mile, three-quarters of a mile, it's only this big. And I'm not here to object from the scenic view interruption. Although, as Mr. McGurk pointed out, the goal is to protect the scenic view on the James River. What I am going to do is talk about a few more important things. I am a member of the resort. I play golf. I even drive golf carts down there. And the dues that I pay, the success of the resort is important to me. It protects my property values in Kingsmill. And I, if you don't think I support that resort, and if you don't think that I want them to be successful in their endeavors. You haven't seen my checkbook because I dump quite a bit of money into them every year. Why am I here and what are my issues? First and foremost, I ask myself, well, how many people or how many more people are going to come to Williamsburg because they get to drive a golf cart on a wooden bridge over top of the James River? Now, I've heard this project called a Riverwalk. I've heard it called a boardwalk. I've heard it called a fishing pier. I've actually even heard it called a community pier. But the truth is, this is a 12-foot wide structure. And the reason it's being built 12 foot wide isn't to be ADA compliant. It's to have golf carts driven on the pier. Now, I play golf, and I drive a golf cart. And I would never have a need to drive my golf cart out on the pier. My God, why don't we just make it 14 foot wide? We'll put some strobe lights on it, and we can put some roller coasters out there. I think it's important to get the point across that the reason this structure is being built so large is to accommodate golf carts. And I don't think that people need to be driving a golf cart over top of the water to appreciate or have access to the scenery on the James River. It's just absolutely nuts. And I think if we started labeling this what it really is, we can call it a bridge or we can call it a golf cart thoroughfare. But to allow this massive structure to go through solely for the purpose of golf carts is kind of crazy to me. Now, we talked about, also at my house, we have the Dominion Power issue, and I'm not sure if you're all aware of that. They want to build power lines across the James River. And, you know, Williamsburg is a huge tourist destination, very scenic. The James River needs to be protected. But you know what? My house, where I live, my community looks directly at those power lines. And I'm not opposing those power lines because of the view. We need power, and we need to have the power lines put across the James River Bridge. But do we really need to build a structure to have golf carts out on over top of the James River? I question that. And again, my goal, I'm not here because it's a terrible view from my back door. Like I said, it literally only is this big when you look at it from my yard. And quite honestly, the marina is beautiful from my house. I love the marina, and this isn't going to change anything. The other thing is, there was a couple comments that the James River is a, quote, scenically designated James River. And I don't know if this is going to quite fulfill that deal there. So thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. And
any questions, Mr. Sessel?
I've got a question. Who will be using this boardwalk, and where will it be coming from and going to?
The boardwalk, starting January 1st, in order to get down there and have access to that boardwalk, you have to be. It'll be a private resort, so you have to join. You have to pay $10,000, $25,000 initiation fee. You have to be a member of that resort to get down there to use those facilities. Now, or you have to be a guest of the resort, meaning outside companies will be booking events there. They'll be booking conventions. So you book a convention. Your people come in. They stay at some of the condos there. Then you're a guest of the resort or you're a member of the resort. Nobody for the general public can come off the street and come through the gate and say, I'd like to eat down there or I'd like to use the marina down there. You will no longer be able to do that. Up until January 1st, anybody could come and pay to use the restaurant, pay to use the marina, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Beck.
Does an owner of one of those condos inside the area have and say that owner is not a member, do they have access?
No, absolutely not. The condos, I'm not talking these red ones here. There are other condos directly around the resort. They are part of the Kings Mill community, the residential community. They are owned by private individuals. Most of those, the vast majority, 98% of them, are rented out. A lot of their owners either live in Williamsburg or other parts of the country. They just purchase those condos and they rent them out.
Well, just before you get to the condos on the right, over on the left are some condos. That's the ones I'm speaking of. Will there be a gate on the road that goes down to the marina?
I can't speak on behalf of the resort. Several months ago, they had put a proposal forth saying that they were going to put a, quote, concierge station, in other words, a gate just before the road to the resort
comes across
that you would have to check into. Now, I also heard rumor that they're changing their position on that, but, again, I can't speak on behalf of the resort. I can only tell you they told me that they were going to put it there, and I haven't went to an official meeting where they said they were going to get rid of it.
Thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do, sir.
Thank you.
My name is Dr. Gerald Johnson, Emeritus Professor of Geology. I've worked on what used to be the Bluffs of Kings Mill for over 40 years. When the bluffs were there, there was a beach. I hope you all observed that there was no beach in any of those photographs because they have beveled the bluffs. And remember, beaches come from where? The land, not the water. So what they have done is starved the beach, and the beach is essentially gone. If you put a boardwalk in there, think about it. You are now down. Your view on one side is to riprap. The other is the beautiful James River. If you keep the walk for people without disturbing the James River, up on the bluffs, going around the old home there, you have an incredible vista. By putting the boardwalk down there, you actually diminish the vista, and you get half man-made riprap. One of the observations, too, that you might take into account, when they put the riprap in, they changed the aquatic environment. That was a sandy bottom out where they're putting this stuff in. It is now mud. And it will continue to get worse because sea level is rising. I did a study at Jamestown, and sea level is rising at not quite a foot per century and more rapidly now than previously. So that shoreline is going to change in the future. I heard that there's nothing vegetationally except for maybe a few bald cypress. You should have been down there before they bulldozed those cliffs. I heard one of the board members at the Wetlands Board say, oh, look, that cliff is eroding rapidly. Yes, if you have slopes with big trees on it, that's not an eroding slope. That man was either misinformed, but he said he lived there for 50 years, or he was saying something else. Now, the natural vegetation has been removed, and now we are looking at still further reductions. There's been a loss of beach. There's been a loss of vegetation. There's going to be an impact on the river. When you put something like that in, it's going to change the environment. There's no way of getting around it. If you put the pathway up on top, they have a better vista, and you don't have the major impact that you have with the boardwalk down on the river. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, sir.
One comment on this. For your board members, please see the beautiful lady over on the right here, where on your left. I think she has something for you as you depart.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am. I see you have your Christmas sweater on. Ready for the holidays. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. Thank you. I've been here this morning and back to Kings Mill and back, and I didn't think there was a chance in this world that I would make it, so I'm so thankful to be here.
Let us have your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Susan Griffin.
Thank you.
And I'm a resident of Kings Mill, and I'm one of those mentioned in the agenda of the numerous residents who protest this Riverwalk as what I would call an unnecessary construction. It does absolutely nothing to enhance the natural beauty of the James River and, in fact, detracts from it. The other two boards that met talking about this, if you read the their minutes, it did pass those two boards, 3-2, and one of the members made a comment, well, we're opposed to the proposal, but it doesn't fall under the parameters of this board. I also oppose this proposal. It just detracts from the natural beauty of the James. It's a beautiful site. If you've not been there, I welcome you to come visit. The other comment I'd like to make is that this boardwalk that's being made, or is being proposed, I should say, is only for the use of resort guests or resort members. It's not open to the public, but nonetheless, even if it were open to everyone, I would still oppose it because of the derogatory nature to one of the most beautiful sites in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Anyone else in opposition? All right, Mr. Dodson, you have an opportunity to respond to any of the comments you've heard.
Thank you. One of the things that was mentioned was the ADA issue. ADA is not, as was pointed out, a width issue. ADA is a slope issue. So it is, as it relates to slope over the length of the project, that we have to maintain less than 5% without ramping or anything like that. The width was driven by what is the FHWA guideline for multi-use paths. Then we come back to the cart issue. The carts that this would accommodate, if necessary, and I'll talk about that in a second, is they're going to redo one of the golf holes over on this western portion of the project. There's a proposal potentially for 25 to 30 homes. The only carts that would be on this path would be the ones that those residences could potentially have, because otherwise they drive through the development to come all the way around. I'm talking with Zantara's representative. If the carts is really an issue, we'll sign the boardwalk and not have carts on the path at all. I mean, that's a decision that Zantara can make and do. I mean, if it's that much of an issue with carts over this is not, the design parameters for this are not to allow carts. It is for pedestrian access, maintenance vehicles, and since it is over the water, we do have to structurally design it such that it can withstand storms and be above the flood elevation. The boardwalk is actually elevated above the riprap. So from a viewshed perspective, when you look back into the slope, you're not looking at the riprap. It is actually higher than that. So from a design standpoint, we can sign it out. The carts won't be there. That's not a problem. It was also mentioned about fishing being promoted. If people want to fish from it, that's their prerogative. There are no fish cleaning stations. That is not the goal or intent. There is a pier that extends out into the water if people want to fish off of it. Right now, people fish from the marina. There are no fish cleaning stations there. There are no signs about fishing or anything else. That's what people's prerogative is, but that's not being promoted. And regarding the bluffs, I can't comment on what could have been done in 98 following Isabel. Wasn't involved with it. I don't believe anybody here was. And unfortunately, we can't redo any of the sins of our forefathers. I mean, we can all look back and, hindsight's 20/20. But what we're dealing with here today is trying to get a recreational path in here that has multiple different issues, and depending on who's arguing for it or against it, everybody has a perspective. But really what we're trying to accomplish is the minimum that we can design to accomplish the goals that Zantara has as the owner in this instance, and try and minimize the impacts over the state bottom. And I believe there was a question asked about the condos ownership, and I'll let Mr. Colda with Zantara sort of answer that for you, Mr. Beck. I don't have that answer.
Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. Thank you. I'm Kevin Colda. I'm the owner's representative. I manage maintenance engineering at the resort, so any construction, renovation kind of projects. The couple questions I can answer was, one was the condo owners. We've got 425 guest rooms that we rent to guests of Kingsmill Resort. Those are all private-owned condos. We own some of those. Some of them are owned by other private owners. Those, anybody that's doing this in our rental pool is also considered a member or is also part of this program. They own their condo. They come to use it. They have access to this boardwalk as well. So the question about do they have access, yes, they do. They're in our rental program, which about 98% of them are in our rental, and then there's another program for those that are not in rental to have a membership, which they participate in, so they would have access as well. So every condo will have access to this as well. The other question was the two-thirds. You know, we said we're close to two-thirds. There's about 2,200 homes in Kingsmill, and we're approaching 1,500 memberships, so that's roughly two-thirds. Maybe it's slightly less, but that's roughly how many members are, you know, or residents or members. But the public access point that I want to make on that is that, you know, there's probably 5,000 residents within Kingsmill that make up that total piece. So there's probably 3,000 of them that are now have access to this as members. But, you know, we approach 100,000 other people that come to the resort and stay every year. By not approving this because of this third that choose to not come to the resort, a lot of them don't come to the resort anyway, whether we gave them access or not. We're restricting from this 100,000 other public people who come to the resort to stay and enjoy the amenities. And Zantara wants them to get on the water. We want to do the things that Zantara does with you know, the kind of properties they own. So, again, the 11-foot wide and the cart access, it wasn't about golf carts. We threw that out there because we knew down the road, you know, maybe it's 5 years down the road, there could be a few carts that maybe want to use it. But if carts is an issue, we have no issue with restricting carts from this. It wasn't made for that. That wasn't the intent when we labeled it as cart access. The gate was another question. There is no gate planned within Kingsmill. The internal gate, as they discussed, it's just the outside gate to come into Kingsmill, but residents can still, you know, they still have access to part of the roads within the resort that residents within the neighborhood can still access. I think that answered the questions that Tim and his group didn't answer, unless you have any more for me.
Any others?
Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Erskine.
So my understanding about the aspect that goes out, the river walk or the boardwalk that goes out in the river, is the goal of that to connect the upper end and the lower end to the marina, or is it?
It's kind of a master plan to connect the whole resort. You look at the top up here, we've got a conference center, a sports club, a golf clubhouse, conference center, a sports club, a golf clubhouse, a tennis center, a sports club right here with a pool, there's a conference center, a golf clubhouse, and over here is a tennis center. We've got an ADA survey done, and we're trying to do our accessible paths. We've got a few changes to make, but you basically can get around any of these pieces here, and there's a sidewalk that comes down this road to our new pool complex that we have here, and to these new cottages that will be rental to rent to guests as guest rooms. You can essentially you'll be able to get anywhere around here on walking trails and wherever you want to go on sidewalks that will be accessible. But to come straight down the hill is the one place that's difficult to get accessibility because of ownership of the condos next to the sidewalk and limitations of what we can do with that to get ADA accessible down to this point. This path connects that final piece to the rest of the resort that now will all be, at some point when we complete this, will all be accessible to all guests. Now, a lot of people can walk, but we want to make it ADA as well. So it's part of a plan to just get people out and enjoy the river. We've been on the river for 40 years, and we have one little piece down here that people can use when we own this whole shoreline that they're not even using. So this is to give people that extra extra benefit of the river and the other pier and the boardwalk.
Other questions? Mr. Tankard.
I'm sure you've read staff recommendation, and it says here, while the elevated boardwalk will provide convenient travel between resort and marina, upland access exists for travel to and from these amenities. So
yeah,
I'm confused here as to...
That's this travel right here. There's a road that comes right down right here. Starts at the top of the hill, but this is a hill starting right here. This is all kind of flat. That's why the accessibility and paths and trails and sidewalks exist up top, and then this trail down here. But this one right here that goes down the hill is a steeper slope that
is that
not ADA.
Is that a road?
It's a road with a sidewalk next
to
it.
And is there parking down by the marina?
There's parking, so everybody has to drive, and there's very limited parking, so there's a shuttle, so if there's a handicapped person, we have to shuttle them down. So it's not, and because of a hill, we don't get the use like we would if there was a trail and a boardwalk and a scenic river walk that people would enjoy to be able to walk from the different locations. This hill, coming up and down this hill, is not a trek that a lot of people want to make.
Mr. Tucker.
So following up, you agree with staff's comment that there is convenient travel between resorts and marina now?
There is, it does exist, but it does not exist in the fashion that most people want to use, that because of the steep slope and the sidewalk, and it's difficult to make it ADA because we don't own the property that is so it doesn't meet the total objective of an accessible path across the whole resort to all the different amenities that this would add accessible connections that we're missing right now.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. The matter is before the commission. I assume you were finished, Mr. Dodson, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Matter's before the commission.
Well, since I was, I agree with staff recommendation. I look out and see the use of public waterway for private individuals here, and when we have access that's not contested, it is convenient travel between resort and marina today, this moment, and in the future. I can't understand why we would even contemplate using state bottom land for a frivolous access. So I would move that we go forward with staff recommendation of not accepting the proposal of the boardwalk, but allow the gazebos and structures that move out into the river.
All right. So the motion is, I want to make sure I have it right, is staff's recommendation, which is approval of the amenity pier and gazebo.
Yes, sir.
But not the elevated timber boardwalk. I assume it includes the royalty of $1,259 for the encroachment of the pier over 1,259 square feet of state-owned bottom.
Exactly, sir.
All right. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second about Dr. Neal?
You or AJ, whoever wants
All right.
to take the blame. Give it to AJ.
All right. Any comments on the motion? Ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you.